Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop. We are the Health and Wellness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio, where our guests are always highly credentialed in the topics that we discuss. It is my goal as your host, and I'm Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian. When I created this show, it was my goal to bring you people who are certified and highly credentialed in all topics that we discuss. So it's important that you get the best information that I can find, so that's what I strive to do. You can find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. And you know this, you know all of that. So anybody that's listening for the first time, we are here to provide as much information as we can, but you should know that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, we recommend that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. Of course, that's the business of the program. I need to get that out and say that. Tonight's going to be a little difficult, but yet so very much informative, and there's so much to talk about with this. And yes, I did say we need to talk about this. Show is called Grief is Grief. No matter the species, the hurt is real. So anyone who's listening who has animals out there, you'll understand that title pretty well. Those of you who are just experiencing this for the first time, welcome. And we're going to get through all of this together. You can call in and ask questions at 347-855-8894. That's 347-855-8894. And if you do call in and you have a question, you need to press the number 1 to get in the queue for questions so that I can see on the board that you have a question. If, in fact, someone does have a question, I'm going to call out the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and you'll know that you're on the air at that time. We also have the Facebook Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group, and if you have any questions there or you want to just tell us what you think or tell us what you'd like to hear, visit us on the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. We do have a website. It's thewholescoopradio.com, and you'll find more information about our guests and some other information about shows, so if you want to check that out. So, again, it's 347-855-8894. And all that's done and over with, and now we're going to get into who we have on the show. I'm just honored. This is the first time guest on The Whole Scoop, and she is a fabulous person. She's got so much to offer. I just spent a few minutes on the phone with her thinking, wow, we could talk forever. Judy Cherus is a licensed mental health counselor. She's a nationally certified counselor. She's certified in clinical trauma professional and EMDR training. She is a FEMA liaison for her place of employment and a member of the crisis intervention team. Judy is also the senior clinical manager of a mental health adult outpatient services at the local community health center. She received the Governor's Medal of Unity for her work during the Pulse tragedy. Thank you, Judy. She is the co-founder of WinterParkLostPets.com and Lost Pets Foundation. Judy is a phenomenal person in that she offers pet grief and loss sessions at Hip Dog Canine Hydrotherapy and Fitness by appointment. And if those of you that are fans of the show and you've listened to us before, you remember Bev McCart, who was on our show with Hip Dog Canine Hydrotherapy, and we had some fabulous talks with that. Judy works out of there for helping those of us who have lost. So all that being said, let's bring Judy on and let's say hello to Judy. Are you with us?
I am. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I'm so grateful that you're here. And like I said in the opening, you know, this is just a topic that's going to be a little difficult to get through for me. But at the same time, I think it's just real important because it's a topic that we don't always talk about. But before we do, I kind of want to just give everybody an idea as to why we're talking about this. The numbers of people in households who own pets, the number of households that own pets, and I'm going to break this down to you, these are in the millions. Households with dogs, 60.2 million. With cats, 47.1. freshwater fish 12.5, birds 7.9, small animals 6.7, reptile 4.7, horse 2.6, and saltwater fish even 2.5 million saltwater fish. That was surprising to me. Total number of pets owned in the United States by the animal, get this, 139.3 million people own freshwater fish. 94.2 own cats, 89.7 birds, 89.7 dogs, 20.3 birds, 18.8 saltwater fish. Those are huge numbers, Judy. And so if animals are this important to us, which they obviously are, why is this topic so difficult to talk about? Why is there a taboo on the grieving of losing a pet? How did we get there?
I think, Carol, that some people, there's a stigma out there, and if somebody is grieving a pet and they get a comment like, well, it's just a dog, or it's just your bird, or it's just your cat, or even it's just your fish, it de-minimizes how they feel. And then people feel like they can't honor their feelings, they can't talk about it. And at least when you're met with somebody who does own a pet, who says, I totally understand how you feel, do you need to talk? Can I do anything for you? That's a big opening for that person to begin to heal.
Yeah, it truly is. And I've been on both sides of that a number of times. And it is so very difficult for me to deal with people who just say, oh, well, you know, just there's another dog. It's just a pet. So it's so very difficult because it may have been, and in cases it was, you know, people who with whom I thought I had a connection. Well, obviously, that connection for me was completely different than it was for them, in that if they couldn't see how the loss of an animal would affect me as a person, then that connection for me was just never going to be any good from that point on.
Yeah, they didn't know you very well.
Yeah, that's right. They just didn't. Well, but you thought, I thought they, you know, you just think different things. You never really know until you know. But at the same time, my point is, you know, there's a couple of points here, really. There's no difference in terms of stages and psychological well-being, there's not a difference between losing a person and losing a pet. But is there a difference in terms of a void or in terms of emotion that you found about, you know, between losing a pet and losing a person? Have you seen or heard? Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I've had people say to me, like, why is this affecting me so much? You know, I didn't cry this much over the loss of my mother, my brother, my best friend. Why is this affecting me this much? And sometimes you have to go back and look at, what did that pet represent for you? It may have represented a child, a best friend, a non-judgmental partner, which not many people have, a companion, so you weren't alone. They're part of our families. They're a gift that you give yourself that changes your life. But they're a part of the family, but without that family baggage. You know, so, for example, somebody may say, you know, I was more upset over the loss of this dog than my sister. And then as they start to talk about their sister was somebody that was always criticizing them or making them feel less than. And now they've got a pet that they don't care what you're wearing. They don't care what you're doing. They just want to hang out with you. That's unconditional love.
Right.
So that's a different loss than somebody that is, you know, you're grieving. You feel like, wow, if we weren't related, I don't know that I would have liked this person very much.
Well, there is that. you can, mm-hmm. I could do a whole other show.
Yeah,
on
that's
that
a whole other
you, right?
show. yeah.
But let's just talk about, you know, let's talk about the stages of grieving, just to kind of reiterate them for people, and let's let them just remember what they are, so that they know that it's normal to go through this. It's normal.
Yeah,
to feel
it's
this.
It's completely normal. It's never in a certain order. So, for example, there can be the stage of denial where you're just in shock, like, wow, what happened? This pet was so healthy, and then this happened. It can be anger, you know, pain and guilt can tie into anger. Like, why didn't I do this? I never should have gone on vacation, that sort of thing. It can be bargaining. So that can be frustration. Well, if only I did this and then did that, and then maybe this would have happened. You know, maybe next time I would have done this differently. You can only do the best you can with the information you have at the time. So there's that.
Right.
Then there can be depression, which sometimes that can come from, obviously, sadness, but loneliness, too, if this pet's been a constant companion. And then at the end stage is acceptance, which gives you hope. But what I tell all my clients is acceptance doesn't mean that you accept that happened. It may mean, and it's a different way of framing it, but it may mean I acknowledge this happened and I don't want to tie myself into the negative energy anymore. I want to move on. I don't want to stay stuck in something that happened that I cannot change. And once you get to that stage, you're always going to grieve. Grief never, ever goes away. You know, it's like in trauma, we talk about the trauma may be in the backseat of your car, but as you start to process trauma, it gets further and further away to when you look in your rearview mirror. You see it in your rearview mirror. It's less than, but it's still there. It happened to you. It's part of who you are. It doesn't go away. That's why sometimes on the anniversary of the loss of a pet, people will say, wow, I'm just feeling really sad, and it's been a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. You're just reprocessing that again because that's still there. If you didn't
yeah,
that
happened
that
to me this weekend.
Pet, yeah.
yeah.
And
I'm
if you
sorry,
didn't care that much about that pet, yeah, you wouldn't have felt anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I went through all of that this last Saturday. It was 5 years mm-hmm. for my master. And, you know, you know that you're not right that day. But yet, and then mm-hmm. when you realize, like for me, when I realized what day it was, I mean, I knew what day it was, but when it really kind of hit home with me, it was, you know, it still hurts just as much as it did 5 years ago. And so you process differently and you
mm-hmm.
think differently, but at the same time it's there. It's in that rear view mirror thing. It's always in your head and it's
mm-hmm.
always... it's always there, and then when the anniversary rolls around or something else to spark a memory, you feel it. It's almost like PTSD, right?
Yeah, and also, you know, it's what did that dog represent for you? What did Dexter represent for you?
Well, Dexter, you know, I think I mentioned to you earlier when we were just chatting, Dexter is the reason that I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was ill early in life. Actually, he hurt himself early as a young pup, and there were no real good options for him to be, you know, to maintain and have a good life. So we started doing acupuncture, and I knew very little about acupuncture at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got sick with a perianal carcinoma that I, you know, had cut out by the vet. The vet cut it out and told me to come back in 3 months. And I said, well, what do we do in the meantime? And she said, well, you know, just come back. It'll cost you about $1,000 every time you come back. We'll scan them and then we'll know. And I'm like, but what do we do in the meantime? And she's like, you know, that's it. So then he was already receiving acupuncture, and I thought, well, let me give this a try. And sure enough, man, they put him on a whole protocol of stuff, and he became a cancer patient, but they looked at him in total, and they said, okay, this is what we need to work on. This is where it is. And that dog just bounced back to, you know, amazing feats. And he did end up with cancer later in life, and he was supposed to, he had multiple tumors, and he was supposed to have not made it through the week because he was supposed to bleed out. And 16 months later, without ever showing signs of really being sick, except for the last 2 weeks of his life, he said goodbye, and he was almost 17 years old. So he changed my life because he kept me on my toes, and he made me get certifications, and he made me learn, and he made me study, and he made me just figure out what I was going to do next to keep him going. And everything
worked. He gave you the gift of becoming a healer. He gave you the gift to pass this on to other people that may be in that same position, like, I don't know what to do. I can't not take action. When we take action, we feel like we have purpose. And if somebody says, well, just come back in 3 months, I'll see you then, we feel like we have to do something.
Right.
You know, we need a purpose. So he did all those things for you. And also, when our animals are sick, we go through a lot of trauma, you know, because we question ourselves, like, you know, I didn't see anything. What did I not see? Should I have seen something? I wish I saw something. Maybe I did. Maybe I missed something. You know, we do that, and that'll make you crazy because, you know, sadly, they can't talk and they can't tell us, I don't feel well. Or sometimes, like, I had a dog years ago that I remember when we brought her into the vet said, this dog should have been in a coma based on her liver count. And she was just standing there wagging her tail. And I had no idea she was that sick. So, you know, sometimes their fault, if you want to say they have a fault, is they can't always tell us, I'm not feeling well or this is going on.
Right.
And
I lost a lab last year. Yeah, I lost a lab last year who was with me for a very short period of time, but I loved her dearly, and she just refused to let me know that she was sick. And it was at the very end, and it was like absolutely devastating because here's the vet saying you need to put her down now, and I'm like, no. No, what do you mean?
Well, yeah,
you know?
I'm shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. So and that's going to be a year on October 6th. So, you know, it does have a major impact because I learn from my animals, and I'm a believer that our animals teach us. They're here to teach us things, and if you're open to what they have to offer, you can just gain a whole wealth of knowledge from them. And so everyone that I lose. An absolute void.
Yeah, and also, it doesn't make a difference how long they've been your pet either. So if you've got that connection, it doesn't make a difference if your dog lived 17 years or your cat lived 20 years or your cat or your bird lived, you know, 6 months. If there's that strong connection, that length of time doesn't make a difference at all.
No, not at all.
And that's
not
another thing people self, they will shame themselves over is they'll say, well, I only had this animal for such a short time. I don't know what's wrong with me. I must be going crazy. No, you're not going crazy. You made a connection that was deep, and you've lost that connection. And we grieve a lost connection.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, Judy. Let's talk about, you know, that connection that we're, you know, not even our. You know, I can talk about it because I don't, you know, I'm to the point where people who know me know that I have animals and know that they're my kids. And if I had kids in my life, I would be doing for my kids what I do for my animals, and I would figure out a way to do it for all of them. But the fact is that the connection that's there What do you find as a professional when people come to you or they attend your support groups, and they, you know, we have a tendency as humans to just compartmentalize our emotions in our heads. And like you just said, oh, I only had this dog for a short period of time, and we dismiss our own emotions. So how do we get to allowing ourselves to feel and not feel shamed and not feel like, you know, what we're feeling is wrong?
Well, in therapy is obviously a good place to process feelings because some people come in and they don't even know what they feel. They can't even name it. If we've been shamed as kids to feel certain things, we're not going to feel it. Or, for example, say you were brought up like, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. Now this person has got this loss, a tremendous loss, and they can't even cry over it, and they're stuck.
So, you know,
yes, you can cry over a pet. Yes, you can rage. You can be angry. You can rant and rave and carry on. You can do what you need to do. But obviously, you need a safe place to do that in.
Right.
But we do, a lot of us deny our feelings.
Right. But, I mean, you work with people, and you work with people with animals. And the differences, are there differences? Do you find that the processing is different? In terms of, you know, when people lose people, it's really okay to talk about it. It's okay to tell people about it. It's okay to let people know that that's where you are in your head. But, like, when I lost Dexter, I'm a consultant, and I work in different facilities during the day, and I was starting a new facility the next day. No one knew me, and all I wanted to do was cry. And I just wanted to curl up in a ball and cry and be away from everybody, but I couldn't do that. So here I am in a new environment, not knowing a soul, and trying to just be stoic because I lost a pet. If I had lost a person, I wouldn't have had to have gone to work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I do think, I mean, there is that, I still think there's a stigma out there about the loss of a pet as opposed to a person. There always is a stigma out there about therapy, like, well, if you go to therapy, you must be crazy. But also,
right.
I think that once we start to, like, there's a line in therapy, and it's feel, deal, heal. And it means once you start to feel and you voice those feelings and you start dealing with them, you heal. And I think that, you know, sometimes for people, it's they need that safe place to go to feel how they feel, you know. And I think a lot of times there are people that feel like they're going to be judged, so they don't want to say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm so upset today, but an animal I was very attached to died and blindsided me, and I just, you know, maybe I shouldn't be at work today. I mean, there are more places that are opening up to saying they understand, and they understand how important our pets are to us. But there still is that, you know, and sometimes it's people's background that they just have to compartmentalize to push through to do what they need to do, and they're going to process it later, but they never get to later, and then that piles up. And then they lose another pet, and they push through, and then that piles up. And then sometimes by the time they finally go talk to somebody, it's so overwhelming for them because they never process each loss as it occurred.
Right.
You know, and the same thing can happen.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing can happen, you know, where it becomes what we call complicated grief. And that's when you're so stuck in it, you can't move forward because you never really processed it. So
how many people do you spend with animals in
like
that?
This.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
I'm sorry,
I apologize.
Yeah. No. I had a little click on the phone here. No, I think that it's important that we do things like this. You know, we keep offering Pet Grief and Loss workshops. We keep putting the word out there that this is something that's okay to talk about. They're our lives. Their only fault is they don't live long enough. Mm-hmm. Every pet has a short life. We outlive them. So, you know, it's okay to talk about these things. And, you know, if you slammed your finger in the door, you'd say, man, that hurts. And anybody that you came across that day would be like, wow, look what I did. Ah, you know, but we don't turn around and acknowledge feelings that, you know, like I feel sad or I'm unhappy or this happened and I just miss my dog. I feel lonesome. We don't tend to say things like that.
Right. We don't. So what kinds of things do you offer people to get them through or to get them to be able to kind of move on and feel good and healthy, you know, or become healthy about the decisions they've made later on? And I think there's also, before we get to that, let's talk about one other thing. When it comes to grieving an animal, and you and I did not talk about this, but it just came to mind. When it comes to grieving an animal, how much does euthanizing that animal play a role in the grief? Because I always tell people that's the hardest thing in the world to do, but yet the most humane thing in the world to do. And so what do you find with, you know, there's got to be a ton of guilt sometimes too. And it's just like, what do you do with that?
Yeah, there's a lot of guilt because people even feel like I should have done this sooner, or people don't know if they did it at the right time, or they don't trust their vet sometimes and they say, well, the vet told me to do it, but now I wish I had waited. I mean, there's a lot of second guessing, and that leads to a lot of guilt. Guilt leads to shame, like I should have known, I should have known, I should have. And we always say don't should on yourself. But that happens, and it's a lot of times it depends, too, on the person. Like, I've worked with people where their dog ran in the street, was hit by a car, and they witnessed that. I've had people that stayed in the room with the animal when the vet performed euthanasia, or a vet came to their home. They felt more in control doing that way, because that's what they felt was comforting for themselves and the pet. But, you know, when you look at euthanasia, or even when you look at trying every possible thing you can, you know, like I have a friend that is very wealthy. Her dog was very sick, and she was doing everything. I mean, anything that was available, she was doing. And on one hand, you know, I said to her, you're very lucky, because some people have the guilt of, you know, if I made more money, I would have spent the money to do this, or I would have gone for treatments, or I would have driven to, you know, Gainesville and got involved in a, you know, clinical trial, or they'll say things like that, and they have that type of guilt. And for her, the guilt came from, look at all I put that animal through, and he still died.
Yeah.
You know, so it's different things to different people. Her processing and her pain was no different than somebody that brought their dog in, dog had cancer, and the vet said, okay, now it's time. The dog's not eating. The dog's not, you know, drinking. Time to bring it in and do this. It was no different.
Right.
So it's all in how we process it, but I think for most people, what comes up more than anything is, I wish I had done more. I wish I had known. They all want to know. And unfortunately, we don't always know. We don't always have an answer.
Right.
You know, we don't always know the exact right time, or we don't always know when they're really, really sick. We have no idea. So there's a lot with grief with pets. I see a lot of guilt, shame, and a lot of people just beating themselves up.
Mhm. Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, if you just look at the dynamics between us and our pets, yes, there's unconditional love, but they also are just absolutely dependent on us for their own survival.
Exactly.
So, you know, if that's the case, then we miss something, or we think we've missed something, and they're longer, you know, I always consider it a contract. It's a contract I make in my head when I take on an animal. You know?
Yeah.
It's a very personal contract. It's a very it's a very rewarding, but yet I take it seriously because I have their livelihoods in my hands. And then if I miss something, you know what? That's harder than, you know, losing a person who had, you know, a team of doctors that were working with them and had all the professionals around them, and, you know, still the inevitable happens. You're not the one that is, like, completely responsible for that, you know?
Yeah, so, but I also think, Carol, it's important to forgive yourself, too. You know, it's important to say, I did the best I could with all the information I had. Because sometimes we just don't forgive ourselves. You know, we don't, and obviously our animals love us. If they could talk, they'd say, thank you for giving me such a wonderful life, but I'm ready to go now. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we don't want to forgive ourselves sometimes. Yeah.
I think animals are better at leaving and knowing when to leave than we are.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when they make a decision, it's done, it's done. And they get to that point. I mean, I've lost a number of animals in the last couple of years, and I've just noticed with all of them, it's like, okay, I'm done now. And you know.
Yeah.
You do know.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people, you just look in their eyes and you'll know the difference as to when it's time, you know?
But because we love them so much, we don't always want to accept that.
Yep. And that's very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so complicated. So tell me how you kind of help somebody through this. What do you do with that? You have groups of people, you have individuals come to you, and how does that work?
Yeah. Usually I see people more individually now. We started to offer groups, and I think people just weren't comfortable in a group, you know, because you want to be in a safe place when you talk about something like this. And sometimes in a group, it's not, you know, not everybody is at the same stage or feels the same way. A lot of times what's really important is you talk about it, you know, you write things, you know, maybe you draw, you know, artwork. Maybe you create a memory book. You honor who they are. And sometimes it's just talking to somebody and saying, these are all the things this dog or this cat, bird, fish represented to me. Or like what you just said about Dexter, you know, this dog brought you a new career and you became a healer out of having that dog in your life. You know, so it's honoring what they did for us, because I believe, like you do too, I believe they're here to teach us things too. And when, and you and I talked about this a little bit, you know, one of the greatest gifts they give us is they live in the present moment. And when you look at mental health, you know, people would have good mental health if they stayed in the present moment. Depression, you're ruminating on the past. Anxiety, got fear of the future. But if you just stay in that present moment, you're just absorbing everything in that moment. And that's what animals do. They just live in that present moment. So sometimes it's, you know, honoring, like, all the crazy fun things they did when they were in that present moment, like, you know, chasing after a toy or, you know, running up the tree or things like that. Some people do a ceremony, you know, to honor their pet. Some people develop a new routine, and that helps them if they're stuck in grief and they're stuck in, like, well, every day at this time I did this, or when I opened my door when I got home, know, that dog was right there, or my cat was always up on the bed. So sometimes it's changing up the routine a little bit as you're processing, you know, that grief. And I think the biggest thing, and it's hard for us to do, is some people never say goodbye. So they never have that moment where they thank that animal for everything they've done, and they say goodbye. And then they tell them whatever they believe in. I'll see you at the Rainbow Bridge. You know, I'll see you in heaven. We'll meet again at another time. You know, some people believe in reincarnation. You know, there'll be another pet out there that I'll adopt or foster, and I know it's going to be a little bit of you in them. It's whatever you believe in. But when you think about not saying goodbye, it leaves things undone.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you have a friend that you never said goodbye to and you stopped talking to each other. Like, what is that? You know, you're like, are we mad? Are we still friends? Like, is this okay? Is this not? But it's once you say goodbye, you like wrap that up. You know, you finalize something. And sometimes when we finalize things, it makes us move on to something else.
So that, I mean, that is definitely something that we kind of all need reinforced with, because we all have a tendency to kind of get stuck and kind of stay in that moment. And, you know, you said something really interesting. You said that animals live in the present and only the present. But how do we as humans even learn to do that? I mean, is that even possible for us?
Yeah, I mean, there are things called, you know, mindfulness. There are things we do in therapy, which anybody can Google this stuff. Some people can do it on their own. Guided imagery, meditation. You know, sometimes it's you're sitting at work and you're already grocery shopping, you know? So you're sitting at work, but you're already thinking about what you're going to have for dinner and you're already making up your list and whatever. How about you just sit in that moment? Just for a moment, take a deep breath. You know, it can be things like, you know, the deep breaths, the taking deep breaths in, deep breaths out. It can be sitting in a room and saying, I'm going to pick out all the things in the room that are blue. And you just count them all out just for that moment. That's what being in the present is. It's just sitting in that space and just honoring that space for a minute. And when you do that, like, physical things happen. Our heart rate starts to drop. Blood pressure will drop. We feel healthier. You know, there's no worry. There's no rumination. So people can learn to do it. It's just for people that are like type A's that are always zipping, and I'm a type A, I mean, doing a whole bunch of things. It's harder. It is harder. But it is something that it's good for us to do, and that's a gift that they teach us.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if you had somebody, you know, what about the person that loses an animal, doesn't talk about it, doesn't do anything with it, doesn't try to move forward, and then says, I'm never getting another animal in my life? What does that do to the psyche of that person? Like, how do you deal with that, with those kinds of situations? I have somebody in mind, that's why I'm bringing that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's somebody that, you know, obviously they're going to need some counseling. They're not going to be able to do it on their own, because their response to that is, it's what we call all or nothing thinking. So it becomes, then I'm just not going to do anything at all ever again. You know, it's almost like, you know, like somebody maybe who's had a bad marriage, I'm never getting married again. Same thought process. I'm never doing that again. You know, well, not every experience is going to be the same as that bad experience. You know, so somebody like that, it's, you know, okay, you've got to look at that and say, but it's all or nothing thinking. Can you meet somewhere in the middle? Because as you cut yourself off, you're also depriving yourself of all these wonderful opportunities that are out there. I mean, a prime example of that is people will say, like, I'm never getting another dog. I'm never getting another cat. Look at all these dogs and cats at the shelter that
right.
are euthanized every year because we don't have enough people to adopt all these animals or foster all these animals. And, you know, obviously that becomes a whole other radio show on staying safe, but, you know, or staying neuter. But, you know, the thing is, there is a lot of love for somebody to give who's loved an animal. And you can love another animal. It's going to be a different experience because every animal is different. The way we're even different. You're different, you know, at your age now than you were in your 20s or in your teens, you know. So it's a whole different experience, but you're denying yourself that opportunity to take the gift the animal has for you and to put that little that love back out there again and to save a life.
Right, and to save a life, and that's huge. And there's nothing more rewarding than doing that because you know that it's not even about the reward for you as a person. It's the look on that animal's face when they know they've been rescued and they know that they're safe. And you did
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So
it's
mutual.
Huge.
No, it's immediately
yeah.
mutual. And it's just an amazing feeling. So that also compounds everything too, because when you lose that animal, and you will, you know, I have to take a step back and I have to say, you know, from where that animal was when he or she came to me and when he or she left me, did I do what I could do? You know, did I fulfill
mm-hmm.
that? And you know, sometimes it's too short. Sometimes it's like I didn't have enough time. And,
yeah.
you know, that happens. So when all that happens, something else came to mind as you were talking. Because all of these dynamics of which we've talked tonight, and I want to just remind everybody real quickly that if you want to ask a question, press the number one to get in the queue for questions. So let me know, and this may be, you know, this may be something you don't want to talk about. I don't know, but I'm hoping that you do, and I'm hoping that you just kind of want to share in this conversation. And if you don't, that's great. Thank you for being here. And you can always blog questions in, too, on the Blog Talk Rep page. But now, getting back to this, Judy, as you were talking, I'm thinking, there's so many dynamics into this, and there's so much complication just in the person and the animal. What about families and animals that, you know, families that lose animals? And then you can also complicate that further with one spouse feels the absolute pain and loss, and the other spouse says, let's get another dog immediately, or let's get another
mm-hmm.
cat, or, you know, hey, here's another, we got another one, why are you so upset? How does
mm-hmm.
that all play a role into any of this, and how do you deal with that? Because I know that people out there listening have to be like going, yeah, that's great, until you have, like, you know, a husband or a wife that says, what are you so upset about, you know? Or, you know,
yeah.
I've got the kids are horrible, and I've got to deal with the kids, too, and I don't have time to grieve, you know? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, first off, everybody grieves in their own way. You know, so somebody
right.
may say, I need to get another animal right away. You know, I just, you know, that's just what I need to do. And for some people, that works. Some people say, I need to take some time. I'm not ready to put myself back out there. You know, it reminds me, I had a client that she was newly married and her dog had died. And the new husband was saying, like, why is this such a big deal? I know you had the dog a long time before we got married, but we'll just go get another dog, and we'll get a dog that's our dog because, you know, we're newly married now. It'll be our pet. And she kept saying to me, he just doesn't understand. But then the more she talked about this dog was somebody that, you know, she was at home all the time and was with the dog all the time, and then the dog was actually helping her deal with some depression, you know, that she had. So she started, like, walking the dog more often and then was starting to meet people, going out and doing things. That's how she met the new husband. So she kept trying to say to him, this dog changed my life. Like, I'm grieving because I was living in this deep depression, and now, you know, I had an animal that got me out in the world because he had to go for a walk. She was in an apartment. There was no way she could put him out in the backyard. So he finally was able to come and understand what that dog represented to her, how he changed her life, how if this dog hadn't even done what the dog did to encourage her to get out, she never would have met the husband. And then he finally was able to understand that and then said, okay, then, you know, we'll wait until you're ready. And then for him, it was interesting because he said, I just wanted to get her another dog because she was so unhappy. I don't want to see my wife unhappy.
Wow.
So people do things for various reasons, you know. And like I said, everybody grieves differently. And he just didn't understand the depth of it. And that's the way we heal, is we heal sometimes by saying, what did this animal represent? You know, now sometimes people don't want to come to therapy and talk about it because they go, you're going to make me talk about my family, aren't you? You're going to make me tell you about all this weird stuff in my family. No, sometimes families have nothing to do with it. They don't.
Right.
You know? Or like I said, sometimes, you know, that animal is just something nobody else has ever gotten in life that was very important to them, which was maybe being non-judgmental. You know, nobody saying, like, you're wearing that, you're doing that, you're going there. It's that, that's huge for them. You know, so in families, it's different things. I remember when I started doing this, I started because we had a lot of people who would walk in the Winter Park Christmas parade with us, and then they started to call me up saying, we can't walk this year, you know, our dog died, or, you know, one person had a cat on a leash one year, which was hysterical, and then she was like, my cat passed away, and she was like, oh my God, I feel horrible, because this was a tradition I did with this pet, and I can't come anymore. And then she was like, do you think I'm nuts? And I was like, no, if you want to come and talk. And that's when I realized there's a need to have a pet grief and loss, like a workshop or session or conversations like this, because they're part of the family. Like, these are all these families would come out together to walk with their pets in the parade. That's, you know, that's what they all did. And then some of them were all in the same stage of grief. Like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to enjoy Christmas this year. I don't want to do anything because this was part of what we did. And now this memory is like this dark cloud over us. So you have people processing things all type of different ways, but sometimes it does come down to, I just don't want to see somebody I love so sad, so unhappy. I want to see them the way they were with that pet that they loved.
Wow.
You know, or I just want to go back to that family tradition where we all got dressed up and looked like idiots in these little Santa hats, but you know, we got the dog in his little costume, and we had a great time, and we took pictures, and we're laughing about it every single year. And now that's gone.
Right.
That's a loss.
Right.
That
is a loss.
So losses, yeah, and I mean, and losses are different things. Like, a death is a loss, but a loss can be other things, like going to the park, dog park, and talking to people. That's a loss. Walking your dog every day where you just got out and had that half an hour or whatever of peace and quiet. That's a loss. You know, sitting in the evening and your cat's up in the cat tree and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and you're not worried about what happened at work that day. You're just watching your cat have a great time. That's a loss. So they're all losses that add up to sometimes one big thing. And people don't realize, like, it isn't just a loss of that pet. It's a loss of that time I had joy watching this pet having a great time, or my family all being happy together, doing one thing together. It's a lot of things like that. but it's different things, you know, to different people. So that's why, you know, the most important thing is just to sit and think, what did that animal really mean to me? And then you're able to talk about it, feel those things, and there is no shame. There's none. Because you're shining light on what you think needs to be secretive. You know, there's a line in therapy, we're only as sick as our secrets. And
wow,
that's sort of what that is. If you're afraid to say, because I love that animal because, you know, as a kid I was abused, but I had a dog that I could tell everything to, and that's why having a dog is so important to me. That's huge.
Right.
You know, that
it
dog
is huge.
Represents more than, yeah. Yeah, and it's everything they offer us can be so huge to us, where if somebody doesn't understand, like, wow, I didn't know that, the fact that, you know, you had that dog that was, you know, sick for so long, got you into all the work you do today, and you're a healer today because of everything that that dog taught you. Wow, that's amazing. Of course you would miss that. That's a huge gift
yeah.
to give somebody, a life change. It's huge.
Yeah, it absolutely was, you know. But so how is it then that, you know, I don't even know where to go with these questions at this point, because it's like there's just so many things. When you're working with somebody, when you're they're just coming to you and they don't even know where to start and they don't know what else to do, well, I know we've covered a lot of that, but I think I want everyone who's listening to kind of be able to take away something that's meaningful, maybe just a little meaningful to them in the sense of when they come and see somebody like you or when they don't come and see someone like you, and let's just say they don't feel like talking about it. What is like the one thing you might tell everyone you start out with? And I think you probably already said, what did that pet mean for you? I think if we just sat with that for a minute and everybody just thought of that for 1 second, that may just help process, because you said that to me before we started the show, and you've said it consistently throughout the show, and it resonates. Because I never really thought about I thought about it, but I never really put it in the perspective of structuring the words that way to process it through. So is there anything else you've got that kind of like ties it together too? Because I think it's phenomenal. I mean, it sounds so simple, but yet it's so real, and it just
The other thing that I think is so important when somebody comes in and they say, like, you know, I don't even know where to begin, is, you know, when we listen to people as therapists, we bear witness to their pain or to their stories. And if, you know, they sit and all they do is tell me about that animal. Just tell me, what did he look like? Do you have a picture? Just tell me about him. Like, honor who that animal was. Just share with me who that pet was, so now I know that pet. So now you shared your experience with me. Now we've built that connection through that pet who is no longer here. That's another gift a pet can give you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm sitting by myself trying to process the loss of my pet without talking to anybody, maybe the best place to start would be to just think about all that he, you know, it represented to me, and then kind of try to relay that as I work through grief. Is that what you're saying? Is that, like,
yeah,
did I get that right?
You know, or another option is write a letter to your pet. And then, when you're ready, write a letter from your pet. Because some people will say, I can't even talk. You know, they'll call me and they'll be like, I can't even talk. Okay, so then I'll tell them, write a letter to your pet. And then when you're ready, write a letter from them.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
That's a way you can process things without talking to somebody, because some people are like, I'm just not going to say it. I'm not going to just whatever. But they will write down, like, you know, that pet, things that they're afraid to tell somebody, like that pet witnessed me being physically abused, and that pet stayed with me as we escaped from that, and that pet stayed with me as I started my new life. Something they may not feel comfortable telling somebody, but you can write it down. That's a huge thing pet did for them. You know, that's an example. But I mean, something like that. I mean, because some people, they just can't say certain things. Or, you know, they're worried they're going to be judged. But there is no judgment. In therapy, there is no judgment. We sit, we bear witness, we try to do what we can to help somebody. Like, I feel the reason I went into trauma so much is, if I can take that pain from you and make you be the person you were meant to be, that's huge. That's huge.
It is.
And
it is huge. Wow.
Somebody did that for me, which is why I went in to, you know, to become a therapist. So it's, if you can have that moment of peace in that session, that's a gift.
Wow.
So, you know, so when we process loss, sometimes it's giving somebody that peace, or it's giving somebody that moment to honor that pet with what is so important to them that they feel they can't tell anybody else.
Wow.
But it's big. So if somebody says they don't want to go talk, they don't want to do anything, then write it down. Then just start writing it down. Some people draw. They can't find the words at first, but they can draw something. You know, they can create art from it. Some people, you know, will go ahead and get clay, you know, and just pound the clay through the anger and then create something from it. So there are all kinds of things you can do without speaking to somebody, but I believe in the power of words. Because I think once we communicate, you're not alone anymore.
Good point.
You're not alone in
Judy,
you're not alone in anything anymore.
Boy, you've given us so much to think about tonight, but yet, you know, I can't thank you enough, because I think the points that you've made and the pointers that you've given in terms of how to deal with this, or how, you know, for different people and different situations, has just been absolutely phenomenal. Things that most of us would never even think about. And I'm very grateful to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so very much. We're almost out
of
time.
I'm happy to
go
be
ahead.
Here. And if you ever want to do a part two, we can always do a part two.
I would love to do a part two. Thank you so much. There's just so many things to talk about, but yet it's one of those shows you have to kind of sit with a little bit and think about in terms of,
it's a lot of information.
You know, that's what I'm going through this whole show going, what did she just say? Wait a minute, I missed that. Or, okay, I got that. That's different, you know? And it's just phenomenal, the pointers that you've given us. So amazing. Thank you.
And you know, they break our hearts, but they make us better people. And
yeah, they
you
do.
Know, we need to, yeah, and I mean, the best thing you can ever do when you lose a pet is honor them. Honor that relationship. That's a special relationship that, when you can't sit and put things into words, that's huge. That's a huge
right.
thing that you have to sit with. Like when you can't even put into words, this is what this animal meant to me. That's when you have to start to process it, because that means there's a lot. There's a lot underneath that, and you just have to get there.
Yeah, right.
Wow. And on that note, I'm just going to have to end it right there because I think that's a good place to end. Unless you have one other little thing you kind of want to slip in. Where do people get a hold of you? That would be good. If you want to be contacted.
I can be contacted through our website. So that's winterparklostpets.com. But the lost pets obviously is not a deceased pet. It's a missing pet. And we actually just reunited our 1,700th pet, so we're pretty proud of that. And
congratulations.
The Lost Pets Foundation. Yeah, thank you. The Lost Pets Foundation is our charitable arm, so we're actually going to be doing some free microchipping and registering those chips at National Night Out here on October 2nd at the Winter Park Police Department. But feel free to always come see me. I'm at every event. Come see me at an event. You can also email me. I'm happy to talk to people on the phone. And you're not alone. You're not alone. That's what I think is most important is you never are alone.
Fabulous. Thank you, Judy. Can't wait for the next one that we do.
All right.
We'll
thanks,
be back
Carol.
In 2 weeks. Oh, thank you. We're going to be back in 2 weeks when Dr. Muzinegro is going to join us again and talk to us about direct care, primary care, of how or not actually kind of like the common man's version of concierge medicine. She's been on the show before. She has fabulous things to say. You're not going to want to miss her. She'll be back with us, and we're looking forward to that. So we'll see you again in 2 weeks, and I want to say thank you to everybody, and come back soon. Okay, good night.